We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Bowerly. Tom Bowerly. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, yeah. Oh, baby, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I thought today we'd ask your favorite place to get a fish fry. I'm just kidding. We have a lot of stuff we're going to get into today on the program, and all of it is related to, in one way, shape, or form, to events going on around us. We're probably never going to get to a ghost show this year. Glad I snuck, or would it be sneaked, one in a few weeks ago. Anyway, I do have some breaking news. You guys are going to like this one. I have a reliable source who has told me that beginning as early as Monday in New York State, because of an edict from Governor Cuomo, uniformed National Guard will replace peace officers at airports to enforce people filling out forms after flights for COVID tracing. This would be a Cuomo edict. Just like he was literally going to use the National Guard to confiscate the ventilators from Western New York days before our expected peak in COVID cases and pirate them, steal them away like Jack Sparrow from our area of New York State to the New York City area until he was stopped in his tracks. And there are certain healthcare executives you can thank for that being stopped. And you can also thank Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz. I got to give credit where credit is due. Mark Poloncarz showed enormous testicular fortitude in telling Andrew Cuomo no. And if you remember, after Cuomo said, I'm going to send the National Guard to Western New York and I'm going to take their ventilators and move them to New York City, got to put them where the resources are needed. Suddenly, and it was really interesting because there was no rise of significance in cases or hospitalizations or intubations, but miraculously, right after Cuomo made that decree, all of our ventilators miraculously somehow were in use. It was amazing how that they weren't all in use. I mean, come on. That was a BS thing. That was a, let's see if we can save Governor Cuomo's face on this. But anyway, if you fly from now on anywhere, New York State, beginning as early as Monday, uniformed National Guard will replace peace officers at airports to help enforce people filling out forms after flights for COVID tracing. And this is the latest edict from Il Duce, paranoid Governor Andrew Cuomo. And, you know, when you think about the hell that broke loose this past summer in certain parts of our state, and the fact that the local police were basically told, okay, you must allow rocks to be thrown at you and bottles and, look, a Molotov cocktail, you catch on fire, so what? When you consider that, and the failure of Governor Cuomo to bring out the National Guard to save New York City and basically destroy 30 years of rebuilding New York City reputation and have it go down, or should I say up in smoke. This use of the National Guard is it's almost hilarious. I have a mask that says my governor is an idiot, and I wore it proudly today. Last night I proudly wore my Trump mask. Didn't wear the Trump t-shirt. I had one of my Femi Hawaiian shirts on. Thank you very much. What can I say? I like Tommy Bahama stuff. All right, 12 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. But wait, there's more. Let me move on to this. Dr. Fauci is in the news. Oh, I'm just laying the groundwork here. I have yet to begin to defile myself. Dr. Fauci is urging you to skip Thanksgiving this year. Now, you can well imagine that my message to Dr. Fauci starts with the word go. There is a word next to it, and then the last word would be yourself. Go blank yourself. That's my response to Dr. Fauci. And let me tell you what. My mother is 87 years old. How many Thanksgivings can we reasonably expect to spend with my mother? I mean, she's well aware of the fact this could be her last Thanksgiving. She's 87. Every day she wakes up is a bonus day. And she ain't scared. She's not nervous of COVID. Hell, we had 15 people, about 15 people at her house on her birthday, give or take. And she wasn't scared at all. And none of us got COVID. None of us tested positive or had any symptoms whatsoever of COVID, much less my 87-year-old mother. But Dr. Fauci says his family has canceled Thanksgiving festivities this year, and he's urging you to do the same thing. The country's so-called leading infectious disease expert says while the holiday won't be officially called off, whether people decide to hold family get-togethers depends on how big a risk they're willing to take. It's a beautiful tradition of getting family together, Fauci says. I think we need to realize things might be different this year, particularly if you want to have people who are going to be flying in from a place that has a lot of infection. There are many people who are not going to want to take that risk. Yeah. All right. And for those people who don't want to take that risk, don't take that risk. I'm sorry, but it's like if you go out to a bar and you're going to get all pissy about somebody not wearing a mask, maybe you shouldn't have gone out to the bar. Maybe you should have stayed home if you're that freaked out about COVID. And I'm sorry, I refuse to live my life that way. And all this talk, and it came up with Biden last night. Seamless transition. Came up with Biden last night. Well, you know, we have to follow the science. You guys are aware that the latest science is that our CDC, much vaunted when it was thought that President Trump was disrespecting his own CDC, our own CDC has said like 80% of people who got infected with COVID were wearing masks and following all the protocols, and they still got it. Therefore, what is the effing point in these stupid masks? Zero. There's no science to back it up. If 80% of people who get COVID were wearing masks and doing all the other things, maybe the lesson there is if you're gonna get COVID, you're gonna get COVID. Hate to say it. It's like if you're gonna get a cold, you're gonna get a cold. There ain't no avoiding it. And if you're not, you're not. And I hate to be that blunt about it. And by the way, isn't it interesting? 210,000 Americans supposedly dying of COVID. That's a big deal. But hundreds of thousands of ballots being found in dumpsters for Donald Trump is just glossed over on the NBC town hall with President Trump. So in some cases, 210,000 people
the number 210,000 is big and enormous and earth-shattering, but in other cases, it doesn't really matter. Well, you go back and you look at some of the close elections that we've had, including JFK versus Nixon in 1960, and you will find that the margin of victory was quite narrow. There have been several elections in this country's past, which have been very, very narrowly decided. You know, we almost had a President James Blaine. I'll let you look that one up for yourself. But anyway, that is the deal. Dr. Fauci says no thanks, no Thanksgiving. He's urging you to skip Thanksgiving this year. Is that something that you're willing to do? That is not something that my family is going to be doing. And we are going to enjoy one another's company because our matriarch is 87 years old. And frankly, who knows how many Thanksgiving she has less. Why left? Why should she give up something she enjoys when she is not concerned about COVID? And she, by nature of her age alone, has the biggest risk factor of all of us. I also have many risk factors. And I don't live my life that way. Sorry, I refuse to. That's not living. That is absolutely not living. And by the way, you know, I was talking to a local restaurant dude, and I'm not going to name the restaurant, but they had to put in the plastic dividers at the bar. Do you know how much the investment was for the plastic dividers? Just take a wild guess. Just a few plastic dividers in the bar. $3,000. I repeat, $3,000. You got to be kidding me. I think we're in the wrong line of work. We ought to be in the plastic divider business. Maybe certain industrial ceramics businesses could convert to plastic and make a killing right now. It's out of hand. It's out of all proportion. But let's follow the science. Well, if we follow the science, the also formerly much vaunted World Health Organization, the media fawned over it when Donald Trump said, we're out of here. You know, Trump was a bad guy. World Health Organization was always right with everything they say. World Health Organization is calling for an end to lockdowns. In case you don't know, they did. Who's listening? Governor Cuomo? No, he's deploying the National freaking Guard to airports in New York State to make sure that you fill out the papers in New York State when you come back from a flight. Seriously? And we can't even go to 75% of the country without facing some kind of sanctions. So it's just a little bit ridiculous. Also, other stuff to talk about. Obviously, the town halls last night, I have some opinions on those, as you might imagine. Let me simply say that I thought President Trump hit it out of the park last night as he dealt with Savannah Guthrie and as he also dealt with questions from the, so-called random audience. I thought Donald Trump was at his best last night. He gave it right back to Savannah Guthrie, but he wasn't obnoxious about it. I think he was proportionate in his responses. He did not seem like he was out of control. He called Savannah Guthrie out when she needed to be called out. And if you think that the Democrats have not tried to weaponize COVID-19, would you please, if you didn't, please go and watch the NBC Town Hall with President Trump and count how many minutes ticked away talking about COVID. This has been weaponized for months by the Democrats to try to topple Donald Trump. Well, meanwhile, the Democrat governors of high-death states like Andrew Cuomo of New York, he's got the balls to put out a book on dealing with COVID-19. Are you serious? That's like Stalin writing a book on why I love Ukrainians. You know, it's absurd. So give me your take on the town hall meetings last night. And, you know, I started off the week gravely concerned about President Trump's prospects for re-elections. I feel a lot better now after the Zogby poll. And I know, look, I don't trust polls. And as I've told you a million times, having been at the Bills comeback game, don't count your chickens. But if millennials are going to Trump and big city dwellers are going to Trump and a lot of our black brothers and sisters are going for Donald Trump, Joe Biden doesn't have a chance. Now, the question is the integrity of the election. You know, I think Donald Trump has to win, and he's got to win big and indisputably. That's my own personal opinion. As I tell people, vote like the future of the country depends on it, because it does. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, I don't know if George Stephanopoulos' jaw is a little bit sore, if you get that reference, last night from talking with Joe Biden. But, you know, I found it interesting. There was a certain issue that did not come up that clearly should have come up during the town hall meeting with the former vice president, but it did not. I mean, I felt like I was watching fellatio on ice with that particular situation. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I know I've thrown a lot out at you, and I kind of apologize for that. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get some calls in. Might as well just get your take on the town halls and what you're going to do about Thanksgiving. Fauci has canceled his family Thanksgiving, and we are not in the Bowerly household going to be canceling family Thanksgiving, because our family Thanksgivings and Christmas Eves are absolutely legendary for their ribaldry and lack of good taste. Let's go to Fred in Warsaw on WBEN. Hello, Fred.
Howdy. Hey, I got a question. Okay, last night, Biden sitting there, if you watched, you could see something coming out his sleeve, some type of wire. Plus, he had two earplugs in. And then he talks about that Green Deal. I hope people realize when they go, if they go to that Green Deal, fuel for your house and cars are going to probably double or triple, because it's all going to be electrical.
Okay, did you hear Biden talking about taking poop and pelletizing it and taking the methane out of it? All I could think of is, how do we pelletize Joe Biden's bolt, you know what?
Well, they're already doing that anyway.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that ain't methane you're smelling.
They just have to take and put Biden in the hole, that's all.
Honestly, what I did was I watched the town halls on my mobile device as I was getting other things in order. So I didn't pay that much attention to his sleeve or wires or his ears. I mainly focused on the audio.
Well, we honestly see, like, he had his arm down, and you could see something sticking out of his sleeve down by his watch.
Well, did it look like rosary beads? That was the excuse last time.
No, it was some type of a wire.
Well, I mean, the question is, if that is correct, was it a wire that people sometimes, like, sometimes when you're on TV, you wear an earpiece. It might have been something as innocuous as that. I can't jump to the conclusion that he was being spoon-fed answers. I mean, I'm pretty sure he probably had the questions beforehand. How you have a former Democrat operative allowed to interview a Democrat candidate for president, it is such a clear conflict of interest and violation of journalistic ethics as to be absolutely meaningless.
Right. And besides that, when he was talking about the Green Deal, if you remember back when Obama was in office, the price of gas, oil, diesel fuel. Now, if they go to Green Deal, everything's going to be electrical. So then he's going to cut the fracking. There goes your gas. He's going to stop oil production. Your price of your oil is going to rise because it's going to be in high demand, because they're not going to be making much. I hope people realize this if they vote for Biden.
That's just, to me, that's one of many reasons. I don't cringe anymore, nor have I cringed for quite some time going to the gas pump. And I don't drive like an Escalade, you know? I might, but I don't right now. Thanks. Thanks very much. I'm glad you called. Oh, by the way, Thanksgiving. Are you going to do Thanksgiving, or are you going to abide by the advice of the great seer, Dr. Fauci?
Well, if we get to go somewhere, we go somewhere.
All right, but I don't know if you guys like do a family Thanksgiving like we do.
Once in a while.
All right. Thank you very much. Our family Thanksgivings, if they were actually video recorded and put on YouTube, I'm pretty sure we'd get a reality show out of it. I have the most dysfunctional family in the world. You have no idea. We have people begging, please let me come to your Thanksgiving. Please. They just want to witness it. It's out of control. It's off the wall. It's fun. It's what I live for. It is 3:27 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and my mother simply says, I produced you. How is that even possible? She says a lot of other things, too, that I can't even say on the air that are just plain funny. And you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name. Yeah, hey, don't hate me. Don't hate me, but after, you know, hearing Tom Puckett talking about John Bon Jovi's continuing bitterness over not buying or being able to buy the Buffalo Bills, I just thought you might want an all Bon Jovi music Friday for music bumps. I've got two more to come. If you want more Bon Jovi, let me know on the text board at 803-0930, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, and I'll certainly hook you up with more Bon Jovi. I kind of feel bad for Mark Valentino and Hit and Run, because they got to have a band meeting now about whether they're going to still play any Bon Jovi. Election Day 2020 is quickly approaching. Are you registered and ready to vote? The deadline to postmark your registration would have been October 9th. Early voting begins October 24th. Absentee ballots must be requested by October 27th. Complete details at elections.erie.gov. Vote, make it count, and get more info at vote411.org. Now, look, as far as the town hall meetings, I don't want to be predictable. I went into the town hall meetings with an open mind. As you know, and as evidence of that, I submit to you the fact I was not complimentary of President Trump's debate performance in the first face-to-face with Joe Biden. So you know I'm not just a blind follower of Brother John Birch, belonging to the Antioch Baptist Church. Charlie Daniels reference, in case you were wondering. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let us go back to the calls. Let's see. Cuomo deploying the National Guard to airports in New York State to help track COVID. And, forget the riots, but he wants to make sure. I mean, we can't go to 75% of the country without having a quarantine when we come back, unless you're Andrew Cuomo and you go to Savannah, not Guthrie, but you go to Savannah for less than 24 hours, because COVID is so smart, it knows that you're only in a place for 24 hours, just like it knows that it can't get into a Walmart, but you put some Catholics, Jews, Protestants, Hindus, Buddhists in their places of worship, and COVID knows to sneak into those places. See, none of this crap makes any sense. We're not following the science. The Democrats say, follow the science, follow the science. Well, the science is clear. And they still are insisting on weaponizing this and making you and your business suffer big time. I was at a small business last night. It was risottos. I pay full. Don't think I'm getting any spiff. I don't. And I was talking to Mike Rizzo, who is the owner of that place and also a few other joints around town. And, they're trying to figure out ways to bring in revenue. Do you have any idea what expenses are in the restaurant business? Do you have any idea what the percentages are? So, you know, guys like Mike Rizzo and Dave Schutte and Ellie from, and whoever runs your favorite restaurant, you know, they are, they're really having to be creative to keep the lights on. It's not easy. It's not an easy business. Think about all the restaurants that have gone under. And if you remember, it was kind of funny. Well, not funny, but I have a friend named Debbie. And she gave me a great compliment the other night. She said, you know, Tom, when this all started and you were talking about businesses would have to shut down and people were going to be suffering economically and people would lose their jobs, I thought you were crazy. I thought you were just, you know, running the mouth off. I can't believe how right you were and how early you were right. So thank you, Debbie. It's good to have somebody recognize that. Every now and again, the blind squirrel, blonde, black, or gray, can get the nut. Here's Dave in Amherst who wants to talk about Governor Cuomo putting the National Guard at the airports. Hello, sir.
Hey, Tom. Just wanted to, actually, I like Cuomo about as much as I like Fauci.
Fudgy?
And?
I'm not even sure what that is. I'll presume it's something I should know. I was going to say, I like Andrew Cuomo about as much as most people would enjoy their first outbreak of herpes.
Cuomo and Bon Jovi are in the same boat for me as well. So not only is he playing dictator, but my question to you relates to the book I just found out about actually yesterday, not up on my news, but apparently we do allow a sitting governor of the state of New York, the size that we are and the problems that we have, to write and spend time writing and putting together a book to publish and make money off of. Give me your thoughts on that and let me know how this is allowable. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you very much. I don't have a problem with somebody who is in office writing a book. I don't have a problem with that, whether it's Andrew Cuomo or Donald Trump, quite frankly. But when it's Andrew Cuomo and you've got 11,000 dead senior citizens and you write a book seeking to exculpate yourself from those deaths, which are going to be investigated at some point at a higher level, I'm convinced of it, and you try to tell people how to handle an epidemic when your state led the nation in deaths and you were slow on the uptake, it's almost comical. And I got to tell you, Andrew Cuomo is, it's, you know, somebody once said, when your enemy is digging a hole, let him keep digging. And Andrew Cuomo, as far as I'm concerned, he should spend every day writing more books, giving us an insight into his dark and paranoid mind. Hello to the intern who is tasked with monitoring this show and the Facebook page of the 1791 Society. Probably David's show in the morning and probably everything else. And by the way, again, you know, just kudos to the people who showed up at the Russ Thompson protest against Cuomo's restrictions earlier this week. They really got a great turnout for the middle of a workday. They truly did. And certainly the 1791 Society also had a great turnout. It was, and the weather was great. The weather couldn't have been better, and it was on a Saturday. But, you know, we need more venting of frustration. I had to go to a government building today, and I wore my mask that says, "My governor is an idiot." And I won't say who, but somebody there liked it. Let's go back to the calls. Here's April. But by the way, if Cuomo committed crimes, and I'm not sure if sovereign immunity applies or not, or the concept of sovereign immunity, but he shouldn't be able to profit off the deaths of all those people. I mean, that's another issue aside from, you know, should a sitting office holder be allowed to write a book? I mean, Lew Wallace, was he still in the Army when he wrote Ben-Hur? He was a Civil War general and one of the railroaders of the Lincoln conspirators. April, hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
You mentioned, Thanksgiving. I know Thanksgiving I'm going to spend time with my family. And you mentioned something about Biden earlier. I never heard of that idea about him trying to find out about human excrement.
No, he mentioned, I think, cow and chicken excrement, and he talked about pelletizing it and extracting the methane from it as a source of energy. And all I could think of is, Joe, if we could use your BS and pelletize it, that would be even better.
I was going to say, if that was, if I misunderstood, I was going to say, a lot of those politicians are arrogant. I don't think that they think that their stuff stinks, really. That's what I was thinking. But anyway.
All right. So did you happen to watch the town halls last night or listen to them? I spent most of my time with my ears and little time with my eyes.
I did not. I was out with friends. I didn't see it, but
Well, you're a terrible American. That's all. No, I'm glad you're out with friends. Friends and family are what make life worthwhile. Everything else is just a big pain in the in the neck.
Yeah, I will vote though.
May I ask for whom you are voting?
Trump. I want to put one in there for Trump. I support him, and I'm a suburban woman, so I support him.
All right. I am delighted you called, and I appreciate hearing from you. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
Hey, if you're just joining us, your thoughts on the town halls last night, your thoughts on Dr. Fauci saying, you shouldn't do Thanksgiving this year. We're not going to do Thanksgiving this year. What a tool. I'm sorry, but the dude is a tool. And also Andrew Cuomo deploying the National Guard as early as Monday to airports all over New York State to help COVID tracking or a COVID tracing would be the better way and more accurate way to phrase that. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN. It is Bill in Eden. Bill, you are on.
Hello, Your Majesty.
Yes, Your Holiness.
I have heard of the 4th Earl of Sandwich, so that must make you the Dean of Skippy.
Well, the 4th Earl of Sandwich was the individual who first discovered that if you put your meat between two slices of bread, you'd have a meal.
Well, we know your royalty, Tom, because you mentioned, I think, isn't Mrs. Nerd like a princess? Because you said she just got a new crown recently.
Well, yes, she is a Sicilian princess, and she knows it.
Well, remember how we had that app before that lets us know how close we are to COVID people?
Yeah.
Maybe they could make another app, like a propinquity app, that would let us know what our proximity to white privilege is in Western New York. Of course, you'd have to filter out the ground clutter. Maybe someone like Mrs. Grisanti there from that last story we saw in the news.
You know, I was gonna say, I don't believe in white privilege, but watching the Mark Grisanti interaction with the Buffalo Police Department, that's a pretty good argument for white privilege, or is it more of an argument for political connections? I haven't quite made my mind up, but if a black guy charged at a Buffalo cop like that, I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that the baton might have been used.
If you could set this particular app to, say, like 25 miles out, then we could find out with the white privilege when the governor or the lieutenant governor lands in Western New York, maybe when he goes to the stadium.
Well, or when Kathy Hochul, who's between Kathy and her husband, they have held office for, what, half a century, for Kathy Hochul to lament the failures of the system when she has been the system for half a century. That takes some serious, yeah.
I thought of some good protest ideas, Tom. If we do find out when the governor comes, say, to the stadium, you know, he's talking about having red, yellow, or orange levels of COVID in the area that he's, you know, concerned about. So what if we all got red, yellow, and orange masks, and they all said GFYAC, you know, on them, which, of course, stands for Go Find Your Autumn Colors, of course. And I thought for some chance, what if we said, what do we want? Freedom. When do we want it? Now. And how about, hey, hey, ho, ho, our dictator has got to go. And then if we have a leader that held up like a potato and he says, tater, the crowd could yell, Andrew is a dictator. Andrew is a dictator.
That's great. That's Bill, your sense of humor is becoming more ribald.
Well, I learned.
You may have to do penance after this phone call.
I learned from the best. And so with these masks they were talking about, too, did you see, and to kind of segue this into the debate, did you see how Savannah was trying to, like, trap over and over with gotchas, obviously, President Trump, where she's saying, like, you know, of course, herd immunity will mean that more people will die. So are you for herd immunity, Mr. President?
Oh, you know what? Hold on, Bill. I'm very glad you brought that up because, yes, I did hear that, and I was just revolted by it. Let's go back to Bill in Eden. If you're just joining us, talking about the town hall meetings last night, what did you think of the job the moderators did? What did you think of the performances of the candidates? Your comments on Cuomo activating the National Guard for service at every airport in New York State to help in COVID tracing. And Dr. Fauci, you know, the world's leading, you know, the smartest guy in the world, his family is forsaking Thanksgiving this year, and he's urging you to do the same. My response to him, allow me to retort, is GFY. Let's go back to Bill in Eden, who didn't finish.
Yeah, I was saying, like, they were trying to get him with the gotchas, like, you know, the herd immunity thing, and then trying to say, people will die, Mr. President. It's almost like saying, well, if people drive cars and trucks, people will die. Do you want people to drive? And for wearing masks, it's like, well, maybe you should, all cars should have ignition interlocks with breathalyzers, because you may be drunk, or the driver of your car may be drunk and not know it. So to be safe for everyone, we should have that.
Well, you know, you know my thoughts on COVID. You know my thoughts on the absolutely irrational continuing lockdowns, the irrational requirements that have been imposed on us in New York State and elsewhere, all the talk of Joe Biden and others about following the science, and based on what CDC and WHO said this week, these restrictions, these masks are absolutely worthless.
You know, two of my favorite parts of the Trump debate, Tom, was like the one lady that was sort of like the little adversary, but she said, you look so handsome, Mr. President. You look so great when you smile.
Yeah, when you smile. And she was the immigrant, the granddaughter, I think, of immigrants or parents.
Yeah, and then he flashed that winning smile, and it kind of made him look good for people. To use a comment that I think Matt Gaetz used, maybe they were trying to trip him up with all the women that were in the crowd. Matt Gaetz said there were more women there at the Trump town hall than there were at a Bill Clinton hot tub.
Oh! But, that's pretty funny.
But my favorite part was, did you see the lady sitting behind President Trump when you were looking at your screen, at like on the right to his left in the back? I think she was wearing like orange.
Yeah, I was just focused on President Trump.
Well, she was nodding every time that he would make a point that, you know, she'd nod in agreement with him. And when Savannah would go after him, she'd be like shaking her head. And it was like this wonderful, you know, scenario. It's like, I'm feeling the same thing. And she's nodding it, and she's right in the background there. And sadly, I heard like on another show that the left has, like, doxed her, and her name is out there now, you know, and then the public, but that's terrible. But maybe...
And this, you know what, this is why, you know, you talk about the left has doxed the woman who clearly was in support of President Trump. This is why we very well may be the silent majority. We may be the secret handshake Donald Trump supporters, because if you show support for Trump, your whole life could be ruined. Your property could be damaged, burned to the ground, because the communists, the leftists who claim they're doing this for black rights, they're not going to stop.
Yeah.
I thank you, Bill, for the phone call.
Okay, have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
It's Bowerly. Tom Bowerly. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yeah, howdy. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks a lot for making me a part of your day. It's Friday, TGIF and all that stuff. And I've got a couple of, well, two, three questions to get into that are all relevant today, all timely, all topical. First of all, did you watch the town halls last night? It was supposed to be a debate, but it became town halls instead. You know, something that I thought was really bizarre is ABC and former Democrat operative with Bill Clinton, George Stephanopoulos, is actually allowed to host the town hall with the Democrat presidential candidate. Folks, the journalism classes, I don't have a journalism degree. I've got a communication degree. But the journalism classes I took, any ethical journalist would have recused him or herself because of the perception of a conflict of interest. That's number one. Number two, wasn't it a little bit weird that after an hour on the air, ABC cut away from Joe Biden while he was still answering questions from people? and instead had their political analysts talk about the hour that was aired? I thought that was really, really strange. I don't know why, but it's like, if you're going to have a town hall and he's going to do an hour and a half, why not air the entire thing? Were they afraid that Joe Biden's brain was only going to be facile for the first hour of a performance? I don't know. But I got, you know, the distinct sense, you know, watching Democrat operative George Stephanopoulos moderating the town hall, is again, it was like fellatio on ice. President Trump, I thought, was freaking outstanding. I thought he was at his best. And I know that if you're on the left, you're probably thinking, well, sure, Tom, of course you're going to say that about Trump because he's your buddy and you love him and, you know, you'd walk a mile for him barefoot over barbed wire. Look, I must disagree with that, because after the first debate, and you go back and you can listen to the recordings if you want, I was not happy with his performance in the first debate. Nor were the people, all Trump fans, who watched that first debate. So don't go thinking that, well, you're never critical of the president. Yeah, I am. Go back and listen to what I said. I was not impressed. I didn't think he helped himself. Last night, I thought he was great. And again, you know, just a quick analysis here. If you think the Democrats have not been weaponizing COVID, you need to go online and watch the first 15 minutes or so of NBC's town hall with Savannah Guthrie. It was all COVID. All COVID, 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 COVID. And of course, he also, for the 85,000th time, had to renounce white supremacism, which he has done repeatedly. You can look that up for yourself. Anybody can look that up for themselves. President Trump denounces white supremacism. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that harping goes to show, in my opinion, how much the so-called open-minded left-wing media is out of touch with our black brothers and sisters. It's like they talk a good game when it comes to race and stuff, but I don't think they get it, you know, in their own personal lives. I don't think they get it. They've got one narrative, you know, basically, I'll quote Joe Biden here, you ain't black if you don't vote for me, and that seems to be the way the anchors on the networks feel. And then they are helicoptered home to their gated communities in the Hamptons. But that's another story for a different day. Of course, I'm helicoptered home every day by Entercom. I just thought you should know that. They send a bell right to the parking lot and get me home, and it's all good. I avoid that big 7-minute drive. All right, 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Also, Dr. Fauci, the smartest man who's ever walked the face of the earth. He is not observing Thanksgiving this year. His family has decided to call off family Thanksgiving dinner. He's urging you to do the same thing. What is your message to Dr. Fauci? I cannot give you my entire retort to Dr. Fauci, a la Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction, but it goes something like this. Go yourself. My mother is 87 years old. She ain't afraid of COVID. She's at high risk for COVID. But guess what? She wants to live her life, and she's been living her life just fine. Furthermore, Dr. Fauci and all the people who say, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. Well, the CDC this week came out and said 80%, maybe more, of the people who tested positive for COVID are people who followed all the protocols, including wearing masks. Now, my feeble mind tells me, all right, my conclusion is if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And maybe some people are more susceptible than other people for whatever reason. That's number one. Number two, the World Health Organization has called for an end to lockdowns. They're causing more pain, and President Trump pointed this out, they're causing more pain to more people than the virus itself. And I've been saying this now for 5 months plus. The first month, I thought people were being prudent. I applauded the governor. In the first month, I applauded a lot of people I ordinarily would not applaud in the first month because I wanted to see what the numbers showed in the United States. I don't trust Chinese numbers. What can I say? I just don't. But once our numbers started to mirror the numbers from Europe in terms of fatality rates and who was dying and who was surviving and the number of non-symptomatic, asymptomatic patients, I quickly realized that we're being had. It's a real disease. The response to it is it's a total scam. And anybody with half a brain knows it's a total scam. These business owners are getting plastered. Well, no, that would mean they're getting, maybe they are, but they're getting absolutely destroyed. Your main street where you live is not going to look the same when this is all over with. And it's a damn shame that we're letting people like Andrew Cuomo, who was given dictatorial powers by the state legislature until April of next year, has unilateral dictatorial authority in New York State. It's disgusting. He's mobilized the National Guard. What, for riot control in New York City? No. He's sending him to airports as soon as Monday to relieve peace officers of the duty of tracing COVID contacts for people arriving on flights at Greater Buffalo International Airport and other airports in New York State. Disgusting. I mean, to what end? To what end? Of what use is that? Sorry, guys. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And if you are in certain risk groups, some of you are going to die. Most of you are going to be just fine. Life is like that. Accept it. Roll with it. I mean, it's not perfect. Life has never been perfect. And it's, you know, it's not fair. It's not perfect. But good God, when I look around at some of my friends and maybe in the mirror and I see the weight we've put on because of COVID, good to have an excuse. It's a little ridiculous. When I see all these businesses closing down, it's tragic. All right, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Actually, I have lines open. Such great topics, and I've got two lines open. I'm almost embarrassed to be your friend. Here's Julie in Wyoming County. Julie.
Hi, Tom. Thanks.
Hi.
I'm calling to agree with you, and where do you think the preponderance of those National Guard guys from New York State are going to end up? Which airport?
I don't know what the personnel distribution is going to be. What do you have in mind?
I'm thinking that they're going to be down on Long Island on the big airport down there.
Well, apparently they're going to be at every airport in New York State.
Well, we know where the biggest ones are.
Well, JFK, LaGuardia.
Right.
And then, of course, Rochester has, obviously the bigger the city you have, the more, you know, the bigger your airport is going to be.
That's right, exactly. So they'll be right in the hotspots. Our hotspots are nothing compared to the population down there. But the other thing I wanted to add was I know how Cuomo is spending his time that he can't come out and purvey the ingress and egress of the Buffalo Bills football field. You know what he's doing? He is writing the sequel to his book that he did on our dime when he was supposed to be earning his salary as governor. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, look, I don't know when he wrote the book. I mean, like anybody else, he's got his downtime. I'm sure he works more than an eight-hour day. And plus, you know, I mean, with the therapy he's getting for paranoia, I don't know how much time he's got, but, you know, he certainly, you know, he's put out a book. And of course, when somebody famous writes a book, there's also the idea of you have somebody write the book for you who generally gets 30 to 40% of the revenue.
Aw, that's too bad, isn't it?
Ghostwriters, yeah.
Well, thanks, Tom. That's all I had to say.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Are you doing Thanksgiving? Are you going to follow Fauci or tell Fauci to perform a physically impossible act? Let us go to traffic right now on news. Oh, I guess you guys don't really want John Bon Jovi songs. Anybody mind if I do Syd Barrett songs? Anybody? All right, back to the calls we go. And next in line is Tim in California. Hello.
Hey, I'm the guy a few months ago you asked, do you go somewhere on vacation that you have to apologize for? And I called you and said, yeah, I come to upstate New York, and I did that 3 weeks ago for my 17th year, only because your governor took our state off the crap list, and I thought there wouldn't be a problem. So I fly into Buffalo at 11:30 at night. I had an interview. Where am I going? Who am I being contacted with? Am I going to shelter in place for 2 weeks? Of course, I said I would. And then the guy called the next day, and he apologized. He said, oh, you really didn't touch down in Texas. You were just at the airport. Never mind. Sorry for the inconvenience. But it's amazing that I was there for a week, got to go to 6 restaurants in New York and Pennsylvania, got to eat indoors the whole time, which I can't do in California. And your state, like my state, has car racing, but no fans. But yet in Pennsylvania, magically across the border, I can go to the races down there. They didn't ask if I needed a mask. They didn't care. I had a good time.
That's because COVID is the smartest virus that has ever been on this planet. It knows state borders.
Well, my friends who live in Depew, and they call me, we're all considered second family. She's in her 80s. Her husband died last year. And she said, this changes nothing. Come to our house. You don't have to wear a mask. And this now includes her daughter and her grandson. Same thing. I have friends in Oswego who have 4 kids under the age of 10. Yeah, come visit us. You don't have to wear a mask. We're good. And guess what? 3 weeks later, I don't have any symptoms. They don't have any symptoms. Life is good.
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen. All I can say is, continue to stay healthy. And you cannot, as President Trump, a COVID victim himself, said, do not spend your life focused on, or I'm paraphrasing here, or being neurotic about COVID.
All right. Keep up the good work, buddy.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. And again, Dr. Fauci, one of the reasons it's come up, he wants you guys to not do your family Thanksgiving ritual. And basically, I give him my middle finger and I fart in his general direction. Here is Anthony in Amherst. You're on WBEN.
Tom, I appreciate that last comment. Hey, I just wanted to say recently, I have a friend from Texas. And he, when he got to Buffalo Niagara, he filled out that 2-page document that they make you fill out with a bunch of bogus info. He signed it Andrew Cuomo. He did not adhere to that protocol at all. And as far as I know, they didn't follow up on him. And I would do the same thing if I had to go to another state, because at this point, this dystopia has gone too far enough. I think some civil disobedience is called for, Tom.
I absolutely agree with you, starting with the religious community. Unfortunately, except for the Jews, the religious community seem to have lost their balls.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and Tom, I don't know what type of future I see for myself here. I'm trying to be optimistic, but it's like I don't feel like I have autonomy over my own life anymore, and it's just incredible, you know, to think that this is a reality right now.
It's criminal, in my opinion. It is unconstitutional, and I keep on recommending that people watch this video. George Carlin on germs. George Carlin on germs. The thesis of which, my dystopian friend, is that we don't have any rights. The idea of rights is bullcrap. We have arbitrary privileges which can be stripped from us anytime they want to mess with us. And this COVID hoax is living proof. And when I say hoax, I don't mean the disease doesn't exist. What I'm saying is the steps taken to mitigate it, according to the World Health Organization and the CDC, are baloney. So, Anthony, as far as your future, I expect, and a lot of people expect, that things might change after early November. Anything else from you, sir?
Tom, I just, you know, just briefly, I would say I think that I can never listen to another Bon Jovi song ever again, because that guy is just a bold-faced liar. And that, I always, you know, remember that newspaper article he took out and wrote, in which he almost doubled down on his lie and I just, you know, in the day of short memories, I just, that always comes to mind when I hear his music.
Who? Sorry, you said days of short memories. I'm just messing with you. Yeah, look, John Bon Jovi is not exactly, you know, he, actually, there's not a single Bon Jovi song in my iPad, or I'm sorry, iPod. Yes, I still have an iPod, Phil. Shut up. Thank you very much, Anthony. I appreciate it. All right. Well, I guess, you know what? For the Floyd fans, what do you say? Jug Band Blues, Phil. All right. We'll do that one. Sid Barrett, one of the founders of Pink Floyd. And a cautionary tale, by the way, about self-medicating when you are mentally ill and why it's not a good idea to drop acid, especially 7 days in a row. That guy could have been so huge and so big, and he basically, whether it was schizophrenia or whether it was the drugs or whether it was a mixture, he threw his life away, and one of rock and roll's tragedies. What can I say? It is Bowerly for, 6 days in a row is fine, but seven was, you know, one too many.
It's awfully considerate of you to think of me here. And I'm most obliged to you for making it clear that I'm not here. And I never knew the moon could be so.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yep, Sid Barrett and Pink Floyd. I'm going to send that out to my son once again because I got into Pink Floyd by myself 50 years late. And then my son kind of got into Sid Barrett. And I'm like, all right, let's see what this dude's all about. And very interesting stuff. But again, a cautionary tale about self-medicating mental illness with street drugs. I think a lot of people who turn into drug addicts are basically self-medicating. Actually, that idea came up in one of the episodes of The Sopranos, if you remember. All right, because remember, all of life is based upon two TV shows, Deadwood and The Sopranos. You don't have to go to college. Watch those two shows. You don't have to go to business school. Watch those two shows. Everything you need to know in life is contained in those two shows. And yes, Al Swearengen is my spirit animal. I heard somebody say that once. I thought it was great. It's like, all right, totally applicable to me. Thank you. So there's that. By the way, somebody called in earlier and said the whole idea of Bill's Mafia is offensive to Italian Americans. I have heard this argument before. Very few people use the word mafia anymore. The preferred expression is organized crime. And even during the heyday of the mafia as the mafia, you had a large Jewish contingent in what we would call the mafia. Murder Incorporated was basically a bunch of Brownsville Jews. Who would go out and they would do the bidding of the Italian, Albert Anastasia, the Lord High Chief Executioner of Murder Incorporated. And here in Buffalo, we had a Pole, a guy by the name of Big Corny, who basically was the biggest distributor of the stuff back in the era of Prohibition. So, you know, mafia is a Sicilian thing. It is... It is one aspect of organized crime. At this point, mafia is probably an anachronism. Organized crime is probably the better and more accurate way to go. I mean, when people say Russian mafia, it really ought to be Russian organized crime. By the way, how many of you have seen The Godfather? Phil? It insists upon itself. Now, that's from Family Guy. But the Godfather, when they were filming in New York City, true story, just a little background. Just a little, I like to tell you little stories every now and again, stuff I've picked up. You know, the leaders of, well, what we could have called the mafia, when they were going to film The Godfather, they were not happy. They were pissed. And basically what happened was Joe Colombo, who was the head of one of the five families of organized crime in New York City in the area, in the era, he reached out to the people making the movie The Godfather. And they basically worked it out whereby some of his crew and crews from the other families, members, would actually get parts in The Godfather. The guy who plays Luca Brasi really was a gangster. He was known as an arsonist. He used to tie tampons on fire to the tails of mice and then send the mice into a building to set it on fire. True story. The guy who played Luca Brasi really was a mafioso. And interestingly, Joe Colombo was also head of the Italian-American Civil Rights League. They used to do pickets outside the federal building in New York City against the FBI. They used to have their guys tail the FBI guys. Seriously. And what happened was Joe Colombo brought so much attention on himself that the other heads of the other families in the New York crime organization, they said, Joe, this is no good. You're bringing attention on us. You got to get out of this. You got to get out of this. You can't do this. And he didn't listen. So there was a rally at Columbus Square in New York City, and Joe Colombo ended up getting popped in the head. One of his colleagues delicately said Joe was vegetabilized. He lived, I think, 7 or 8 years in a coma after being shot in the head before he died. His assailant was immediately gunned down. Talk about a suicide mission. And whenever you watch the movie The Godfather, remember, there was real, genuine, organized crime influence in that movie. But as far as Bill's Mafia, whether you find that offensive, I don't have enough Italian in me to have an opinion. And frankly, most of my adult life, I've only dated Italian women. I'm sorry. I got a thing for Italian women. What do you want me to say? It is 4:43 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's get back to the calls. And it is Eric in Allegheny. Eric, I hope you didn't mind my soliloquy on The Godfather.
No, that's excellent. It's nice to have a little respite from the hardcore stuff, and a little bit of entertainment's good, and commentary like that. And I enjoy that, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
I also heard that the Johnny Ola character in The Godfather Part II was also someone they pulled right off the streets, and he was not a professional actor.
And James Caan developed close ties to certain people in organized crime. And let me, by the way, did you ever watch Law and Order?
I used to watch it until I detected that there was an element of, a little element of brainwashing in there that I couldn't take anymore.
Okay, understood. Yeah. When Jerry Orbeck on Law and Order, remember him?
Yeah, he sang the part in the Little Mermaid song. Did you know that he was a professional singer?
Yes, actually, I did. And Jerry Orbeck was actually friends with Crazy Joe Gallo, who many people believe was behind the hiring of the guy who killed Joe Colombo, who was then gunned down. Jerry Orbeck was out the night Crazy Joe Gallo was killed at Umberto's Clam House. So whenever you see Law and Order with Jerry Orbeck, there's a big piece of mob history with Jerry Orbeck.
Oh, big time. One of my favorite movies with James Caan is called Thief. It's very hardcore, old kind of a late 70s movie. But anyway.
And just, Ben, I've said this before, but I spent a very pleasant afternoon with a very, very, very close relative of Joe Bonanno on vacation. We had a fascinating conversation, and she was the real deal because she knew things that like no, I mean, you'd have to be a super geek like me to know. It was a riot. Anyway, what's on your mind?
I would have liked to be a fly on the wall for that conversation.
Oh, she's beautiful.
So a quick side comment, and then what I really called about when you made the comment the Prohibition era. And this is a different topic I want to address maybe next week, but the whole problem we're having with the militarized police and the people, especially on the left, rebelling against it, and now a lot of people on the right with this coronavirus crackdown, it's because of the drug war. And I would argue that prohibition never ended. They just found a new substance to attach to it instead of alcohol. It's, you know, weed, cocaine, acid, whatever the drugs are. And I'm not for drugs. I don't think it's healthy. But warring against your own people for something they're going to do anyway, even if it's illegal, only supports the system. And this is why 80 to 90% of the people in prison are in there for nonviolent crimes, nonviolent offenses. They need to be let out. So if there's no victim, there's no crime. And that's a common law practice or precept, is that if there's not a specific victim to your crime, then there's no point in the state getting involved prosecuting you for a possession crime. You know?
I could not agree with you more. I have long been an advocate for legalization of drugs and frequently go to the Facebook page for LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
I did some work for a Christian family who sent their children to a very, you know, prim and proper Christian school where there was good morals and ethics being taught, etc. And the young teenagers told me that if they wanted to get alcohol, it would take them 3 or 4 days because they had to go to find somebody with ID to go to a store and etc. And it wasn't available on the street. If they wanted to get drugs, they told me they could go into the school cafeteria and buy drugs in 30 seconds. So what does that tell you? That the drug war is not working. It's only making the drugs more available. It's creating a new generation of criminals, and it's packing the prisons for profit.
So— Dude, they can't even keep drugs out of prison. The most tightly regulated places in America have drug problems. So the whole idea of the war on drugs is stupid to me. You educate people, you don't incarcerate them.
Yeah, in Santa Clara, California, I believe it's the Sacramento County Jail. I might have the wrong county. But there's a group of guards called the Wrecking Crew that dealt drugs. They're all over the internet. There was a trial. They beat somebody to death. They knew where all the places in the prison were where there were no cameras. So they could go beat prisoners and deal drugs and do that. I mean, so, you know, there's corruption everywhere. You can't legislate a perfect society. Part of being free is having risk. Freedom requires assuming a little risk. I'd like to focus also on people to remember what Cuomo said, and I think it was just 3 or 4 days ago. I just heard him say it. He said, there are no clusters. There are only issues with a lack of compliance. That's where we have the issues. So, and it mirrors the comments of Patrick Peyton, the mayor of Midland, Texas, who was talking about forcing masks on his people, and he said, it's not about the science, because the science is back and forth. It's about what we believe to be the best practice. And he said that on Fox America's newsroom. I watched him say it myself. I couldn't believe it. It's not about the science, so we're not going to – so what's it about? If he's saying it's not about the research, the science, the statistics, the hardcore data.
It's about control. At this point, it's about control, and it's about making sure Donald Trump gets taken out. My opinion. Eric, I'm glad you called, man. Good talking to you.
Thank you, bro. The masks are obedience training, so no compliance, no enforcement.
All right. Thank you very much. All I want to say right now is bring out the GIMP. GIMP's sleeping. Well, I guess you better go wake him up. All right. It is 440. Well, master obedience, that kind of thing. All right. It is 449 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Far too many movie references this half hour. I kind of apologize, but it is Freitag. I brought three or four things to the table. Dr. Fauci, the most brilliant man who's ever walked the face of the earth, he says his family is going to do away with Thanksgiving this year. He's urging your family to do the same thing. What is your message to Dr. Fauci? The town halls last night. Did you watch? What did you think? I thought Donald Trump kicked ass. I thought he hit a home run. I thought Savannah Guthrie was annoying and obnoxious and biased. On the other side, I thought watching George Stephanopoulos and Joe Biden was like watching fellatio on ice. And how do you have a former Democrat operative acting as a moderator for a Democrat candidate in a town hall is a total violation of journalistic ethics, which, by the way, is an oxymoron in 2020. There is no ethical, there are very, very few ethics in journalism in 2020. All right, everybody's opinion. It's a propaganda machine. You doubt me? Check your Google News feed. I told you this before. Every single day the last 5 years, I checked my phone, and you would think that Donald Trump single-handedly had slaughtered a million babies. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN. It is Jim in North Tonawanda. Jim, welcome.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm well, Jim. Thank you.
Good. I don't have a communications degree, but to quote Star Trek, I'm a welder, not an orator, so bear with me.
Dude, you're smarter than I am. I can't weld anything. You've got a skill. Don't short sell yourself.
Thank you. You brought up a point about Cuomo in April. And also, in the town hall, I heard on BEN this morning on the way to work that they were drilling him about, will you concede when, you know, when he loses, supposedly.
You mean when Savannah Guthrie said, will there be a peaceful transition?
That's it.
Yes. And Donald Trump was brilliant when he said, where was my peaceful transition? They were spying on my campaign.
Well, it's funny how they don't seem to be asking Biden if he will concede. You know what I mean?
Oh, that is an excellent observation, and it is a psychological tactic. I mean, this whole campaign is propaganda by every major media outlet in America, including Twitter and Facebook.
Right. And, well, that made me think what you just said about Cuomo and April. When April comes around, will he give up his dictatorship as far as what the legislature gave him? Will he give it up?
That is an excellent question. And knowing something from the inside of Governor Cuomo's temperament, I think it is doubtful that he is going to give up his power in April. I think it's going to be extended. Just like you remember back when they said, well, you won't go to Canada till the end of May. No, it won't be till the end of June. No, it won't be till the end of July. Now, I'm not even sure that Canada still exists.
Yeah. Well, I'm Canadian, and I live in New York State, so.
Well, God bless you. We miss our Canadian friends. I miss my 222s.
The one thing about that is, it's like you said, they keep moving the goalposts, and we're angry about that.
Well, as well you should be. I'm angry about that. And I keep, if I hear one more person say, well, the Democrats are following the science. Are you guys unaware of what CDC and WHO said this week?
Yep. Yes, sir.
It's unbelievable to me. So, again, I know that you started off by saying you don't have a communication degree, but it doesn't matter because you made your point and you made a brilliant observation.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much for the call.
I listen all the time, and I was there at the 1791 Society rally, so I understand everything.
Well, much appreciated. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, we all, look, guys, talked about this before. We all, every one of us have skills and gifts, and the key is to find your gifts. I'm a professional nerd. I'm a professional geek. I don't know how to change the oil in my lawnmower. I'm a moron when it comes to most things. And like Socrates said, the more I learn, the more stupid I feel about what I don't know. I seriously. It is 4:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Socrates also said, hey, bring me another little boy. I think that was somewhere.
It's Bowerly. Tom Bowerly. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hello, it is 9 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere just happens to be right here, right now. Hope you had a good work week. Hope you had a good work day. If you're commuting or working at home, whatever, I don't know if you listen to the radio as you telecommute or whatever you do, because I've been coming into work every day. I could do the show from home, but I don't because I would miss Phil. And most of all, I'd miss giving Phil presents. That seems to be my job in life. My job in life is to be Santa Claus for Phil. And I enjoy being Phil's Santa Claus. It is, okay, don't read anything into that. Seriously, I'm just realizing. Wait, Phil's taking notes for HR. Hold on. Anyway, it's, you know, Santa Claus is a super spreader. Santa Claus is going to be banned this year by Fauci. I have no doubt you'll be told to tell your kids that Santa ain't coming this year because, you know, he was up there with his little elves and the reindeer in the North Pole, and he was getting into some trouble, and, you know, Mrs. Claus, you know, she probably gave it to him, and we don't know if Santa's going to be around him. It's terrible. So Dr. Fauci says his family will not be doing Thanksgiving this year, and he's urging your family to do the same thing. My message to Dr. Fauci is why don't you go take a flying leap at yourself? Kind of. It would be a little more graphic than that if I wasn't on the public airwaves. But the guy, he's a douche. We're not giving up Thanksgiving, Fauci. My mother is 87 years old. And you know what? She's got more balls than you do. She is a high-risk senior citizen. And she will be doing Thanksgiving again, just as she does every year, COVID or not. And frankly, my mother has always said, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. Thank you, Mom. And that's where I get a lot of my outstanding judgment and common sense, my mommy. And I'm still close to her. At the age of 57, I'm actually quite grateful that she's still around. And I'm, you know, I was called a senior citizen yesterday for the first time. I won't tell you who told. All right, Mickey Kearns may have called me a senior citizen yesterday. Just saying. Anyway, it is 12 minutes after 5. And I'm not going to lie, that hurt. It really hurt. Oh, great. Now people are going to call in and say, hello, senior citizen. Damn, why do I open myself up? So there's that. Also, the town halls last night. And again, folks, ladies and gentlemen, I don't carry water for anybody. If I give you an opinion, it's a genuine opinion. And I thought Donald Trump hit it out of the park last night. Savannah Guthrie, I thought, was ridiculously confrontational. If you don't think the Democrats have tried to weaponize COVID-19, you need to watch the first, 10, 15 minutes last night of Donald Trump. He was grilled mercilessly by Savannah Guthrie. Contrast that to the kid glove hot oil massage given below the belt of Joe Biden last night by George Stephanopoulos. It was like a tale of two cities. And it was, because one was a Democrat operative hosting a debate. The other was a Democrat operative hosting a debate. The difference, the candidates. One, a Democrat. The other, a Republican named Donald Trump. The most hated man in America, allegedly. Although, I must tell you that whenever I wear my Trump mask, people flock to me saying, yeah, and giving me fist bumps. Same thing when I wear my Trump t-shirt. So I don't know that these polls are look at 2016 and how off they were. We may see history repeating itself here in 2020. I'm not saying that Joe Biden was terrible. He was not terrible. But why did they have to cut away from him on the TV after just 1 hour when he was taking more questions from people in I mean, it was bizarre because the analysts were doing their thing and Biden was still talking. I thought the whole point of a town hall was you hear the candidates answering questions from people. Same thing with NBC and Savannah Guthrie. I mean, she took up, I don't know what, the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes with her, you know, will you renounce white supremacy? Savannah, any internet search will show you that he has renounced white supremacy constantly. And when will Joe Biden renounce Antifa? Was a great response. Will you give up power? And our last caller the previous hour was awesome for a guy who's a welder. I mean, seriously, never, ever underestimate mechanical abilities. You cannot, look, we all have intelligences and we all have specialties that we do. We all have value and we all have brains in our own way. Okay. And that guy had, I think, one of the best observations of the day. Joe Biden is never asked if he will peacefully go into that long good night if he doesn't beat Donald Trump. Yet Donald Trump, are you going to peacefully give up power? And it was great last night because he said, hey, I was spied on by the Obamas. Where was my peaceful transition? That's a paraphrase. Like, yes, awesome. I think Donald Trump is picking up steam and I don't like to judge things by rallies. I really don't. But good God, President Trump packs them in at rallies. And whenever I see a Joe Biden event, it's a bunch of ancient ossified souls sitting in circles. Just saying. It is 5:15. Was there another topic? Yeah, but I forgot what it was. Because I'm a senior citizen. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Okay, Phil, I don't look 57. Let's be real. I look like a dude in his 40s going through a severe midlife crisis. Let's just be honest. Would you agree with that assessment, Phil? I can't see that far. Phil's holding something up. Dude, I can't see. I got to look and turn the... Oh, AARP. Yeah, thanks, Phil. Thanks. All right. anyway.
Just making sure you're signed up.
You are such a dick. Let's go to Michelle in Williamsville. Michelle, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Oh, hi. I just wanted, first of all, to tell you how much I enjoy your show.
Aren't you nice? Thank you.
Look forward to it every day after work.
I am deeply appreciative.
But as a fellow senior citizen, in regards to the Bills Mafia, I am 100% Sicilian. My grandfather is featured in a book called Buffalo Mob. You can get it at Barnes & Noble.
By Mike Rizzo?
I believe he is the author. His name, my grandfather's name was Joe Ruffino. And actually, I'm rather proud of it, I got to say, because my grandfather did what he had to do to make a living back in the day. Because he was an immigrant, and he had no money. So I'm proud of the fact that he said, I'm going to feed my family. And he was making alcohol, and that's what he did. I didn't see anything wrong with it. But long story short, if I feel as though I know a little bit more about the mafia than some people. No expert by any means. But I find it kind of insulting, this Buffalo Mafia. If you know what the mafia is, it doesn't even make sense. The Buffalo Mafia doesn't even make any sense.
Well, the Bills Mafia is what it's called.
Yeah, the Bills Mafia. It doesn't even make sense to me. I don't understand it, and I just can't wrap my head around it.
See, I am not entitled to an opinion one way or the other, despite my deep and unnatural attraction to women of Italian heritage. Mrs. Nerd is half Sicilian, and...
we are great, aren't we?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely. And how do I say this? She's not offended in the least by any reference to mafia, and her family was not connected to any of that.
I might be a bit more sensitive to it because I have a direct family member that was connected to the mafia.
Yeah, I mean, I have had previous girlfriends who were deeply connected to it.
Right, and it's just, like I said, I just can't wrap my head around the whole Bills Mafia, how it got started, why it got started, and what does it even mean, their terms. I am all for supporting the Bills. Please don't get me wrong. I'm a Bills fan. I'm a Sabres fan. I'm born and raised in Buffalo. I'm a Buffalo old lady now.
Well, I you know what? I think the answer might simply be because of your age, Mafia means one thing to you, and it means another thing to people today. Mafia is basically the definition that I would give of the Bills Mafia, and most uses of the word mafia in those kinds of contexts is we are a close-knit, fanatical gang, and we've taken a blood oath to the Buffalo Bills.
I guess I can relate to that theory. That makes a little bit of sense to me. It just, like I said, maybe it is because I look at it from a different point of view than maybe the younger generation.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've had a lot of people tell me I'm an honorary Italian, and it's kind of cool.
You tell that to my Irish husband, too, so.
Well, I basically, I self-identify as an Italian Jew, so I'm just saying.
Hey, you know.
I'm glad you called in. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, 803-0930, *930, 1-800-61. Hey, we can self-identify as anything we want to these days. Let's go. Look, I've got so little Italian in me, it's not worth mentioning. And, yeah, I am part Ashkenazi and Sephardic. So, yeah. And then I had the Nazi great-granduncles. You know, like I said, I'm just a walking, breathing, living example of the stupidity of racism. Oh, yeah, the other thing is Andrew Cuomo, the dictator of New York, he has ordered the National Guard in uniform to replace peace officers at airports in New York State to make sure that people are filling out their COVID tracing paperwork. I mean, forget about the riots that destroyed New York City. NYPD was on its own on those. But when it comes to COVID, man, Cuomo is going to use the National Guard, just like he was going to use the National Guard to steal our ventilators days before our forecast peak of COVID and ship them to New York City so your mother would die while somebody's mother in Brooklyn or Queens would live. And I'll tell you, that got stopped. And you can thank... I don't want to name everybody, but certain healthcare executives and county executive Mark Poloncarz, you can thank him for stopping that. And look, Mark and I don't see the world in the same way. And, you know, obviously there have been times where I politically disagree. I kind of like Mark Poloncarz, and I really respect what he did to keep our ventilators in New York State. I don't know what the situation is now, but what I hear is after Mark Poloncarz refused the ventilators from Erie County, Cuomo wouldn't take his call personally. He had to go through underlings. No kidding. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN. Here's Dennis in Buffalo. Dennis, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Great.
I'm just sitting in the sun here. It's palm asleep. Yeah, I was trying to make a comment to you. I was just trying to wrap my thoughts around it. But basically, I mean, who the hell am I? But it seems like a lot of this stuff is going to get worse as time goes on here. And, you know, the TV and the media likes to make you think that, people have no control or nothing. But, I mean, you're involved in law enforcement. Maybe you can clarify this a little bit. But I believe in every county has a sworn-in sheriff that's obliged to the Constitution, Constitutional Republic. And if things, you know, get out of hand or something, if you feel like you're in your county, things are going out of control a little bit, I guess it's our obligation to put pressure on that sheriff, and even if he has to, you know, form a posse to protect the Constitution and us against stuff that's been going on. And if it feels like, you know, your rights are being taken away and stuff like that. I mean, we can't put all our eggs into the presidency because, you know, who knows who's going to win there, but just want to make that comment that, you know, we have a local sheriff, which is sworn an oath to the Constitution, and put pressure on him to maybe, you know, if things are going wrong, to change things around. I mean, what's your comments on that?
I didn't spend enough time at that job to have any expertise in the specific question you are asking. But that sounds to me more like a constitutional question for a constitutionally oriented attorney as to the rights and responsibilities and duties of a sheriff of a county in New York or any other state. And I'm not, and then don't forget here, you know, there are some places in this country where all you have is a sheriff. You don't have local village or town police departments. You've got the sheriff.
Because of the history of it. Yeah, exactly.
But here, I mean, keep like in Erie County alone, think about all the police departments we've got. We've got the New York State Police, of course, you know, Amherst, Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, Lancaster, Depew has its own police department. So you've got so many jurisdictional issues that exist. And by the way, by and large, most of the departments cooperate very, very well one with another. But it is a strange situation when you've got, for example, there's parts of Clarence where I think you've got overlap between Erie County and New York State, and I'm not sure how they split those calls, to be honest with you.
Well, the thing is what I understand is that, like, your police force and that is, you know, they work for the city and the county and stuff, but a sheriff is an elected official, okay? So he doesn't work actually for the county or the city. And the sheriff, from what I understand, has, you know, such even more strength than the federal government coming in with if anything's unconstitutional. I just think that, you know, we're forgetting this part that, you know, we won't get the big picture all the time, like who was going to win the presidency, is, you know. But in our own backyard, we have, a strength right there in the sheriff, which I understand.
I would have to research that before I'd feel even mildly qualified to give you an answer. I'm sorry to if I'm letting you down. I'm sorry.
Well, no, good. I was just something to look into because, you know, I mean, it's something that local people can have as a security here, because, you know, I don't know, but things look like they're getting out of control a little bit, and they're going to go further out of control.
Well, if on election night it looks like a Donald Trump landslide, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Hey, Mike and the guys in Back to the Bars, can you learn this song by tomorrow night?
Emily tries, but misunderstands.
Come on, you know you can. It's not that hard. All right, it is. Today was Syd Barrett Day for musical bumps, except the one John Bon Jovi song we played just to be idiots. So Phil is making Skyline Chili this weekend, his own, like homemade Skyline Chili. And I said, Phil, you probably already know this, but, you know, that is the best skill to have to impress women. I said, you know, between picking up dog poop, changing diapers, and cooking is the skill to have. And Phil looked at me and he said, I ain't changing no diapers. Well, unless they're yours. Funniest damn thing I heard all week. It is 538 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Okay, Kathy Hochul, can we talk? Talking about masks and being a political statement, I thought you were following the science. Allow me to retort. Over 70% of coronavirus patients wore mask, followed guidelines. CDC study. It is impossible to evaluate exactly where someone contracted the virus. Face masks and coverings are not 100% effective. Actually, they're nowhere near 100% effective at preventing the spread of the coronavirus, according to a September study, that's just last month, from the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Kathy Hochul, let's follow the science, shall we? The study conducted in July found that over 70% of 154 case patients who had tested positive for COVID-19 were infected despite making efforts to abide by CDC guidelines, including the wearing of face masks. All this bullcrap about following the science. That's the science from the much vaunted CDC. Remember when it was felt Trump wasn't paying enough attention to the CDC? Where's Dr. Redfield? Here's a study from the CDC. Most media haven't even told you this. It's on my Facebook page. So the paper is the Jerusalem Post. The Jerusalem Post. I had to go there to get the story. Over 70% of people who tested positive for COVID not only wore masks, they abided by all of the guidelines issued by the CDC. We are being so hosed over coronavirus, it is not funny. It is a scam what they are doing to us and what they are doing to businesses and communities all over Western New York. It is an absolute scam. Furthermore, the World Health Organization, remember when it was the be-all and end-all when Donald Trump said, they're too close to China, we're out. Remember how the World Health Organization was, and I thought this too at one time, this is a great source. This is where people need to get their scientific information. Kathy, the World Health Organization this week called for an end to lockdowns. So, Kathy Hochul, let's recap. And if you're sitting down, Kathy, try to avoid the golden horseshoe that seems to be inside of you. Masks don't work. The guidelines don't work. The World Health Organization says lockdowns don't work. So you can talk all you want, Kathy, about following the science, but at the end of the day, you're just a bloviating, ignorant person who has had more luck in her life than most people could in 100 lifetimes. Follow the science, Kathy. The CDC, masks don't work. The protocols don't work. World Health Organization, lockdowns need to end. More harm than good. Is that not enough science for you? Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Brandon, North Carolina, you're on. Hello.
Hi there. How are you doing?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I like you just the way you are, Brandon. What's up?
I want to go back to the mop stuff, just because, to me, every time the government imposes a regulation, it causes more problems than they're trying to solve.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I've been wrestling with something, Brandon, because I feel the same way you do about a lot of government regulations. I mean, look, I think that we can agree we need an FDA. We want to make sure that meds are safe and effective. We want to make sure that only a few rodent hairs are in our soup, right? Okay, so we need some government regulation. And I also think that too much regulation, because I know a lot of business people, is actually counterproductive to the nation's economy. Yet, Brandon, in North Carolina, you know, I kind of think that Twitter and Facebook need to be regulated.
Oh, that is dangerous.
Tell me why. Because let me make my case. They are censoring conservative viewpoints. They censored our own president's Twitter account this week.
I thought you were talking about just censoring what was being said, because they should have no censoring whatsoever. But then again, they're their own company. You can't.
So was the phone company at one time, and it got broken up.
At the same time.
Right. So was the phone company at one time, and it was broken up. I think it is a very, I think it is a very dangerous world when you have influential social media platforms that can basically act as arbiters of fact and ban certain posts from being put up, And interestingly, they always seem to be from conservatives. So,
and you know, can I mention another podcaster's name? Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you know, Dan Bongino is very big on Parler,
right?
And so, through capitalism, that establishment should work its way through and get rid of those kind of issues. But we're at this precipice where all we have now is these big establishments that we're trying to break through.
Right. But, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, when you watch the media, when you do things like look at your cell phone or your iPad and you see the news feed from Google, you would think that Donald Trump speared and spit roasted a baby today. And it's been that way for 5 years. If Donald Trump cured cancer tomorrow, the headline would be thousands of doctors now out of work. Hospitals are closing. Thanks to Donald Trump. I mean, the dude can't do anything right.
And that's where you get into the ridiculousness of the media, is they'll stretch any number. I mean, they will hurt themselves to stretch out and pull out a number and statistics just to say, hey, look at this. This is bad.
So, Brandon, just a quick question for you. We do not feel free, many of us, in New York State. We can't even visit 75% of the country. Do you feel free in North Carolina? Can you give us some hope?
We're a bit of a purple state, so it's weird, but most of the generalized population in my area, they're kind of tired of stuff. They just want to go do their stuff and go out. And demographically, the area I live in, we're older, so they're more used to, you go out, you go get your groceries, you go do this and that. They're not used to being locked inside, and they're not used to, oh, there's an app to have whatever company bring their food to you.
Yep.
And that, I can only speak from my point of view because I work on a vendor services side.
Understood. Brandon, I'm glad you called. And if you guys were smart, I know you're smart, but you got to keep Yankees from going into North Carolina from New York State, because unfortunately what happens is you get a state with a certain set of values and low taxes, low property taxes, and it's a really great place to live. And people leave a state like New York State because they're sick of the BS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.